In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and it's great to be with all of you in this Easter season. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Great to be with you. So as always, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer which is the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to be with us. Tomorrow we enter into the month of May, which is the month of Mary, as well as we start off with the feast day of Saint Joseph the Worker. Days of many blessings upon the church and upon all of us in our Perseverance family. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves most, the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles we have for the Holy Spirit are the following. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. It's also known as the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler and our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. He who makes us holy. If that were not sufficient, the Holy Spirit is also our interior master. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, says we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to give us a lot of light. And the interior fire to burn within our hearts. As we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Pope Pius V, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia. 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 Great to be with all of you. And as always, after praying with you, I will be praying for you. And I'll be praying for you in the greatest of all prayers. That prayer, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the whole world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And offer various intentions . First intention will be that we would all make a concerted effort to be open to the inspirations and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Second intention, I'd like to pray for our families. And we'll pray also for Carmen, whose birthday it is today, last day of April. We'll pray for our family, for the conversion of our family members, for the sanctification of our family members, as well as for the salvation of our family members. And then finally, let's pray always for that very special group of people, of those who will be dying sometime today, that they will be saved. our Lord says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? So let's pray for those who are dying, that they would open up their hearts to God's infinite mercy and be saved. Now let's pray for ourselves for that very important day when God will call us from this life to the next. So let's pray for ourselves for a holy and a happy death. So, my friends, there's a lot to cover as always. We're going through the Acts of the Apostles. We've arrived at about the halfway point when the 14th chapter of the 28 chapters of the Acts. We see Paul and Barnabas being persecuted, Paul being stoned. They thought he was dead, but he got up. And he continues his preaching and teaching. The gospel today is we have Jesus greeting the apostles and greeting us. He greets them with the word peace. In Hebrew, the word would be shalom, meaning peace be with you. And then I'd like to start off with the saint that we celebrate today. Yesterday we spent a good period of our conversation going through the life of Saint Catherine of Siena, and once again we'll wish Carmen a happy birthday, praying for Carmen on her birthday today. Already several people have already greeted her. So many blessings, many shaloms, peace be with you. On your birthday, which happens to be the feast day of Saint Pope Pius V. So let's talk about this saint and see if we can connect him to the Acts of the Apostles and Jesus coming and wishing the people shalom. Shalom, which means peace be with you. My friends, what a blessing it is to be a Catholic. Catholic Church is basically a family. We have the family upstairs on the main floor and in the basement. We got the saints in heaven. We on earth, and we have the souls in purgatory. This is our family, and we can help each other in many ways. So, let's talk about this saint. I think it's worth the while to spend a little bit of time on this saint because we can apply his life in his relatively short pontificate to the world and what's going on today. So the last day of April, we celebrate one of the greatest popes we've had in the church. And he was a pope for only about 5 to 6 years, a relatively short pontificate. He was born on January 17th, 1504. And died May 1st, 1572. She lived to be 68 years of age. Canonized 1712. So here is this great man of God. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the Pope. Let's pray for the cardinals. Let's pray for the archbishops. Let's pray for the bishops. Let's pray for the priests. Let's pray for religious too. They say when Pope Pius V walked in processions. He had the habit of walking in processions. And how important it is to have Eucharistic processions. How important it is to have Marian processions and to do it in a public way. It's a public profession of our faith. He would walk barefoot through the city of Rome. His head was uncovered, and he had a long beard blowing in the wind. The people in Rome said that there had never been a holier pope. He just radiated holiness. Let's pray, my friends, that we would grow in holiness. Let me tell you a story of another saint. His name was Saint Alphonsus Maria Liguori, the founder of the CSSR, the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, known as the Redemptorists. When Alphonsus was already in his mid-60s, the Holy Father called him and wanted him to become a bishop. Alphonsus didn't want this because he had a lot of responsibilities in the founding of the Redemptorists, and his health was not that good. The Pope said of Alphonsus, he said, "Your mere shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese." Did you hear that? What a compliment. He said, "Your mere shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese." What an incredible compliment that was. His mere shadow was enough to sanctify the whole diocese. May our presence be a source of sanctification starting in our own families. So this holy man of God, the Holy Father Pius V, he just radiated. He radiated holiness. Here's an interesting trivia for you. He's living 500 years ago, and from that time on, the popes would wear a white religious habit. It was because of this pope, because before becoming pope, he was a Dominican priest. That you probably didn't know. He was a Dominican priest and decided not to change his religious habit. So from that time on, the popes would always be wearing a white religious habit. I thought you'd probably like that trivia, but interesting. He came from a poor Italian family, and he entered into the Dominicans when he was only 14. He was a great teacher. He was a master of novices for the Dominicans. Then he was chosen to be a bishop. And after that, chosen to be a cardinal. His temperament was such that he was a strict man, but a very honest man, as well as a zealous reformer. Now, the many qualities we have in this great man is his ability to work on reformation. His ability to work on reforming, reformation. When he was informed that he had been elected pope, he wept. He did not aspire to be pope. But once he was elected, he wept because he recognized the great responsibility that fell upon him. Okay, I want to explain now, very important to understand the work that he's going to carry out. He's living in a very difficult time within the church as well as the world. When he's elected, the Council of Trent had ended 3 years before. And he felt that it was his task to carry out the decisions that were made in this Council of Trent. So just a little bit of history. So he's living in a time of great tensions within the church. He's living when other great saints are living. Saint Ignatius, Saint Francis Xavier, Saint Philip Neri, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross, St. Peter of Alcantara, St. Charles Borromeo, all these great, great saints. These great saints are living at the time of this holy pontiff. So what you have, and this is important that we know the historical context of his life, especially as cleric and pontiff, is we have the Protestant Reformation. Protestant Reformation, you might say, starts in, we have in England, Henry VIII, who will separate himself from the church because he desires to take another woman to be his wife. So he's cut off from the church. And this pope tried to reconcile England to the church, but England would not obey. So he had to cut off the Church of England from the church, the Catholic Church. So in Germany, we have Martin Luther, who would eventually separate himself from the church, and we have the Lutheran Church. We move from northern Germany to Switzerland, and we have John Calvin, and another man named Zwingli, and Melanchthon. These were all the pioneers or founders of what is called the Protestant Reformation, the Protestant Church. So, this is the Reformation, and the church reacts by what is called the Counter-Reformation. You have the Protestant Reformation, then you have the church reacting to it by what is called the Counter-Reformation. So the Pope intervenes and calls a council. This is also during the time of St. Thomas More that Mary Jo is pointing out, the movie Man for All Seasons. So the Counter-Reformation was called to convene in a city called Trent. So it was convened, and it took quite a few sessions because there were a lot of disagreements. Sometimes arguments and quarrels over many issues between the Spanish and the Italians, the early Company of Jesus and the Dominicans. There was a lot of disagreements, and it was St. Charles Borromeo who was the secretary of the Council of Trent, that was instrumental in helping the council to come to a conclusion. And as a result of that, you would have the first universal catechism, which is the Catechism of the Council of Trent. So that's the whole context. That's the whole context of the Counter-Reformation and the Council of Trent. But not only that, there is a lot of internal corruption within the church, especially related to finances. Now, if that were not sufficient, there was another problem. and it was the attacks from without. Most specifically, it would be the Muslims, especially the Turks. There's a danger to be invaded by the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, and the Muslims. So Pope Pius V came in with all these very serious problems. Huge numbers leaving the Catholic Church to become Anglicans, Lutherans, and Calvinists. A certain internal corruption related to finances. And then, excuse me, the danger, the perennial danger of being attacked by the Muslims. So the Pope came into the church as pontiff, having to deal with huge problems. Huge problems. But we're going to see what he's going to do in a matter of about 6 years. But that would be the overall context, the historical, social, and political context that he had to deal with. So as soon as he enters in, don't forget that he's a Dominican, so he's a religious priest living in a monastery, living by rule. He begins changes immediately. So, you know, as a whole, people usually don't like changes. As a whole. Usually people don't like changes. So at first the people started to complain against Pius V. And what they complained about is he said that this Pope is turning Rome into a monastery. But don't forget that he lived most of his life in a Dominican monastery. But his goodness was so evident . His personal goodness and holiness was so evident that this reassured the people that what he was doing was good. So these would be his many reforms. And he carried out many reforms in a relatively short period of time. So here we go. With respect to the finances, he ordered the money given for his coronation. Now back then, the Pope, kind of like a king, was crowned by a very ornate, somewhat ostentatious, crowned with jewels. Right away what he did was this. He could care less about that. So what he did was took the money and said, give it to the hospital, to the poor, to the sick, those in need. The church's finances were examined. The army was reduced. The lifestyles of the cardinals became simplified. And once a month, Pius V held court for anyone who felt unjustly treated. So he really insisted very much upon justice, the virtue of justice, giving each one what is his due or what he deserves. Now, I'm going to go through a list of his incredible reforms. And it has to be said that if it weren't for this person I'm going to mention right now, it would have been difficult for him to carry these reforms. He was helped by the great Cardinal Archbishop of Milan, and his name was St. Charles Borromeo. The Pope before him, Pope Pius IV, was actually the uncle of Charles Borromeo. So Charles Borromeo was instrumental in helping Pius V to carry out these series of reforms. And they're the following. Perhaps our secretary, Sophia Carmen, can write down these numerous reforms. Number one, seminaries were established. Very important. We're talking about the 1500s. Seminaries were established. So up to that point, you would have the priests that were ordained, but they did not have a really solid intellectual, philosophical, theological formation or underpinning that was lacking. So the Pope, as well as Charles Borromeo, were keenly aware of the Church had to have well-formed clerics and priests. The flock very much depends upon the shepherd of the flock, and the shepherd of the flock would be the bishop and the priest. Next, synods were held. So the priests and bishops would come together to talk about how to organize better the church and how to save souls better. Synods were held. Third, dioceses were organized. So he's really ordering, as St. Ignatius would say, a call to order the disordered. A call to order the disorders. Next, parish priests were called to regular meetings. Parish priests were called to regular meetings for ongoing formation. How important, my friends, it is that all of us make an effort to work on our own ongoing formation. That's part of our Perseverance family. We're working on our ongoing formation. Next, a catechism. A catechism based on the council was completed. So there we have, thanks to St. Pope Pius V, we have the first universal catechism was published and promoted. This was a universal catechism. So you see how God works. The Protestant Reformation was like a spiritual atomic bomb that exploded. But God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. Consequently, the council was called, and all these reforms were implemented. Now there was a solid, organic body of doctrinal material that the church could rely upon. The Catholic Church in 2,000 years only has two universal catechisms. This catechism of the Council of Trent, and then about 30 years ago we've got the Catechism of the Catholic Church published and promulgated by Pope St. John Paul II with the help of Cardinal Ratzinger, who would become Pope Benedict XVI. There are other reforms. The Roman Missal used at Mass and the Divine Office were composed or rather revised. And then, this is very important, the confraternity of Christian doctrine, also known as the CCD, the confraternity of Christian doctrine, CCD, was started. So this would be the catechetical and organized, a more systematic catechetical formation for the people was initiated. This is all done by one man with the help. We cannot underestimate the help of St. Charles Borromeo, the Archbishop Cardinal of Milan, which was the biggest diocese in the world back then. One of his greatest sufferings, however, was he tried to bring England back to Catholicism. But it was unsuccessful. When Queen Elizabeth continued her father's policy of separation from Rome. Pius V cut her off from the church. He had to do it. That was a source of great suffering for him. And as a result of this, there were new persecutions of Catholics in England. And Mary Jo has mentioned earlier in our conversation St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More, the movie The Man for All Seasons. Thomas More will be incarcerated in the Tower of London. Then the Bishop John Fisher and the Jesuit Edmund Cambion, these three men of God, and Margaret Clitheroe, these great English men and women will actually be martyred for the Catholic faith. So this is a very important period of time. We're talking, my friends, about the 1500s. The 16th century. Now, I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention this last very important event. This was the threat of the Turks, who threatened to overrun Europe. And this is the very famous Battle of Lepanto, which took place a year before the death of Pius V. Perhaps Sophie can write down the Battle of Lepanto. The Battle of Lepanto. It was a naval battle that took place in 1571, in which the Catholic Christian fleet was much weaker than the Turks from the Ottoman Empire. So it took place in Lepanto. And at first, it's a famous and formidable battle that the Catholics were losing. Pope St. Pius V, who was a Dominican, and the charism of the Dominicans is to spread the Holy Rosary. Okay, the way that this is written would be Lepanto. So it's kind of a difficult name. It's Lepanto. The Battle of Lepanto. So the Christian Catholics were losing. Pope Pius V said, "We got to pray the rosary." So many people, Catholics, were praying the rosary, and the winds changed. And as a result of that, the Catholics got the upper hand, and they defeated the Turks, the Muslims. So the Catholic faith was actually saved because of the victory in Lepanto. And this was basically a victory because of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. For that reason, afterward, the 7th of October, October is the month of the Rosary, but the 7th of October is a formal institution of Our Lady of Victories, also known as Our Lady of the Rosary. So we can see that this Pope suffered a painful disease at the end of his life, and he died after having a papacy of only 6 years. So, my friends, I really believe that this conversation was very much a conversation related to church history. I've kind of given you a historical talk of the church in the 16th century. I think it's important that we understand this, to understand the overall arch of Catholicism. And very instrumental was the great Pope, Saint Pope Pius V, and the help of Saint Charles Borromeo. So I'd like to give you my priestly blessing, and let's pray for each other and pray for the church. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.